Let's turn to John chapter 16. We've been walking with Yeshua through the book of John. We are now at the end of the life of the most important man who ever lived. That man is also the Messiah and the Son of God and the one and only Savior of humanity, who alone can rescue us from the real and deadly forces of Satan and the demons, sin and the sin nature, death and hell, our great enemies. It's Yeshua's last day on earth. It's a very special day, the first day of Passover. It's the day Messiah will die a very special death as God's Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world. That makes this day one of the most important days in history. Yeshua will eat his final meal, a Passover Seder, with his most important disciples, the men he will entrust with his ongoing mission of world salvation. During the meal, Messiah will give his disciples his final teachings. He will pray. Then they will leave, and Yeshua will be arrested, tried, tortured, and crucified. That all takes place during this day. Yeshua claimed to be the Messiah and the Son of God. He told his disciples that he would die, he would overcome death and live forever, and everyone who was loyal to him would also be resurrected and live forever. That sounds really great, right? But he also taught them that even though he was righteous and spoke the truth, he was fiercely opposed. And after he left, they too will be fiercely opposed. After his resurrection, Yeshua will not immediately establish his kingdom on earth. His disciples will not be in positions of honor and power like they thought. Their adversaries will have the power and will continue to oppose them. So the disciples must prepare themselves to endure opposition so that they will not fall away. John chapter 16, starting with verse 1. All this I have told you so that you will not fall away. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. Most people want to be accepted and popular. One of the greatest dangers that Christians and Messianic Jews face is falling away because of the world's opposition. Falling away means knowing Yeshua, but leaving Yeshua. It means knowing the truth, but abandoning the truth, falling away from the truth and from Yeshua. If we know that we will be persecuted, we will be opposed, sometimes even fiercely, we can prepare ourselves mentally and spiritually to endure the opposition so that we will not fall away. If we are not mentally and spiritually prepared to endure the world's opposition, we will be in danger of falling away when that opposition comes. We need to understand that we are not going to be loved and accepted by the world. We are not going to be admired. We are not going to be popular. We are going to be opposed, at times fiercely opposed, by the world. So we are not to see ourselves as pop stars with adoring fans, but more like a soldier entering the battle facing an enemy who is larger than he is, like a boxer who is going into the ring facing an opponent who is stronger than he is. Yeshua told the disciples that people are so far from God, even the leaders of the chosen people, that they will think they are doing the right thing by killing the disciples. The time is coming when anyone who kills you will think they are offering a service to God. Why will people, even most of the leaders of the special nation of Israel, persecute, even kill Christians and Messianic Jews, which is a very wicked thing to do, and think they are doing the right thing? Can they be that delusional? They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. To reject Yeshua is to reject God. To reject Yeshua is to reject us. Yeshua did not prepare the disciples to endure opposition until this time because he had been the focus of the opposition until now. The world's hatred had been directed to him. But he was leaving. And the disciples would continue his mission of world salvation. They would become the focal point of the world's opposition. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yeshua had told them repeatedly that he was leaving. He expressed disappointment that they were not more inquisitive about where he was going. None of you asks me, where are you going? If they had been more inquisitive, until they clearly understood that Yeshua was returning to the right hand of his Father in heaven, they would have been happy for him, not grieved for him. Or for themselves. Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. The grief they were experiencing because he was leaving needed to be balanced by knowing that they would be benefited by his departure. Here, Yeshua repeated something he told them earlier. But very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Yeshua wanted his disciples to understand that they would be tremendously advantaged by him going away. Going away by dying to atone for the sins of the world so they could be reconciled to God, followed by his resurrection and his ascension to the right hand of God. Only then would he be able to send them the advocate. Advocate means someone who is called alongside to help. The advocate, of course, is another title for the Holy Spirit, the invisible presence of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit, up until this point, had been with them because, of course, he's omnipresent. He is present everywhere throughout the universe and beyond. And he had also been with them because he was in Yeshua, filling Yeshua with his presence. The Holy Spirit had been with them in a very special way up until now. However, as great as that was, Yeshua now promised his disciples that he would send the Spirit to them in a new and greater way after his death, his resurrection, and his ascension. Yeshua's death to atone for sin, followed by his resurrection and ascension, provides the foundation, the basis for the Holy Spirit to be sent to Yeshua's followers, to come to them, to be given to them, so that the Spirit of God is able to live in them in this new and greater way. Note well that Yeshua claimed that he would send the Spirit to them. If I go, I will send him to you. Who can send the Spirit of the Almighty God anywhere for any reason whatsoever other than God himself? Which means that Yeshua is again claiming that he is fully divine, he is divinity, he is God. The Holy Spirit coming to these men in this new and greater way would be a tremendous advantage for them. One of the things the Spirit would do for them is help them successfully carry on Yeshua's mission to a godless world. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Messiah's Spirit sent to us in this new and greater way so that he is living in us, gives us the ability to impact the world. And that's a great thing, because the world definitely needs to be impacted. The world is dead in trespasses and sins. The world is far from God. The world is headed to death, not life, to hell, not heaven. The world is controlled by the adversary and the fallen angels. Messiah's Spirit, living in Christians and Messianic Jews, helps us prove to people that they are wrong about the most basic spiritual truths: sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit living in us helps us prove to the world that it is wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment in two ways. First, by the way we live, and second, by the words we speak. By the way we live. The world is so far from God, so confused about the most basic truths that many people don't always know right from wrong, good from evil, sin from righteousness. But the Holy Spirit helps us know what is right and what is wrong. And he helps us do what is right and avoid doing what is wrong. The world cannot help but see that and contrast our right way of living and our right values with their wrong way of living and their wrong values. And since God has given everyone a conscience, if they understand that there is a right way to live and a wrong way to live, and they know that they're living the wrong way, they will know that judgment is coming to them. The Holy Spirit living in us so that we live the right way proves to the world that it is wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. The second way the Holy Spirit living in us proves to the world that it is wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment is by the words we speak. We tell the world that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one and only Savior of humanity, and that it is wrong, it is very wrong, it is a sin, it is a great sin not to believe in Yeshua. The Holy Spirit speaking through us informs the world about sin because people do not believe in Yeshua. We tell the world that sin can be overcome, that human beings who are not righteous can become righteous, that they can become right with God because of Yeshua, if they have faith in him and loyalty to him. We tell the world that they can know that Yeshua is the righteous one because he has risen from the dead and has ascended to the right hand of God. Yeshua's resurrection and ascension are God's declaration to the world that Yeshua is the righteous one. So the Holy Spirit speaking through us informs the world about righteousness because Yeshua went to the Father. We tell the world that judgment is coming, that the reign of the dark prince of this world is coming to an end, that Yeshua's perfect life and atoning death and resurrection and ascension assures this, that Satan and the fallen angels will be judged and condemned, and that if people were wise, they would abandon the dark prince and his dark kingdom, or they will share his condemnation. So the Holy Spirit speaking through us informs the world about judgment, because the prince of this world already stands condemned. In addition to enabling the disciples to prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, another tremendous thing that the Holy Spirit does for us is he guides us into all the truth. Yeshua said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The Spirit of God continues the wonderful teaching ministry of Yeshua to his disciples. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into all the truth in several ways. He gave additional truth to Yeshua's special disciples, truth that Messiah had been unable to give them because they were not ready for it at this point. For example, the decision of the First Jerusalem Council was guided by the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Think of the book of Revelation, additional truth given by the Spirit to Yeshua's disciples. The Holy Spirit also guides all of Yeshua's followers into the truth. He opens up our minds to understand the Word of God. He illumines us, gives us light. He gives us wisdom. He gives us understanding. As we encounter various situations, he helps us discern the truth, what is true from what is false. He guides us into all the truth in a very personal, immediate way. What a tremendous thing. Yeshua taught the disciples that just as he did not speak on his own, so the Spirit would not speak on his own. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Just as the Son, Yeshua, only said what he first heard his Father say, because Yeshua was subservient to his Father, so the Spirit will not communicate anything to the disciples unless it is something he hears the Father or the Son saying first. Why? Because there is a hierarchy of authority within the Trinity. The Father is superior to the Son in authority. The Son is superior to the Spirit in authority. The Spirit speaks only what he first hears from the Father or the Son, and then communicates those truths to us. In addition to enabling the disciples to prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment, and guiding them into all the truth, the Holy Spirit would reveal important information about the future. And he will tell you what is yet to come. You know, it can be really advantageous to know what is to come. When we know what's going to happen, we can adjust our course to avoid danger or take advantage of an opportunity. The gift of prophecy proves that God is real, because who is able to know the future other than the one who created time but is not limited by time? And it proves that Christianity is the one true religion, because no other religion has this ability to reveal the future. He will tell you what is yet to come. Again, think of the book of Revelation, which had not been given at this point. Again, Yeshua wanted them to know that the Holy Spirit continues his wonderful teaching ministry. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Where does the Spirit get the information he reveals to Christians and Messianic Jews so he is able to guide them into all the truth and reveal to them what is to come? From Yeshua and from God the Father. Everything that the Father has, which includes everything and everyone, and it includes all truth, belongs equally to Yeshua. All that belongs to the Father, Yeshua said, is mine. The Father shares all things with his Son, including all the truth. There is a complete sharing of truth between the Father and the Son. And then the Son gives some of that truth to us by means of his Spirit living in us. Knowledge is valuable. They say knowledge is power, and that's true. Knowledge can be very beneficial. The one who gives knowledge to someone else should be honored by the one who receives the knowledge. If someone teaches me something really valuable, something that really benefits me, I honor the one who taught me that knowledge. If you've ever had a really great teacher who has taught you well, you understand that it is right to honor your teacher. The Messiah giving us truth through the Holy Spirit honors the Son, glorifies the Son, who is the source of that knowledge. Yeshua cryptically repeated that he would die very soon, but he was also come back to life very soon. Yeshua went on to say, "In a little while, you will see me no more. And then, after a little while, you will see me." The disciples didn't understand. At this, some of his disciples said to one another, "What does he mean by saying, 'In a little while you will see me no more,' and then, 'After a little while, you will see me'? And 'because I go to the Father'?" They kept asking, What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he's saying. Yeshua knew that they did not understand and were reluctant to ask him for clarification. Yeshua saw that they wanted to ask him about this. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant when I said, 'In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me?'" And so Yeshua responded to their unasked question. He told them that they had entered a time of mourning. M-O-U-R-N, not M-O-R-N. "Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices." Yeshua told his disciples that they were about to be devastated by his arrest, his trials, his suffering, his humiliation, his death. But he also told them that their grief would not last very long. "You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy." Their grief would be replaced by a happiness rooted in the knowledge that Yeshua was alive with all the amazing things that implied. Can grief be replaced by happiness so that the grief is barely remembered? Can joy swallow up sadness? Ask any woman who has given birth to a child. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come. But when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So, with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again, and you will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy. Just as God designed women so that the pain of childbirth is quickly replaced by the happiness of having a new child, we are designed so that our weeping and mourning and suffering can be replaced by joy that cannot be taken away by anyone. Once we truly understand that Yeshua is alive and all that that means. You want more happiness? Less grief? Less depression in your life? You need to think more about Yeshua and that he is alive and what he has done for you, what he is doing for you, what he will do for you, where he will bring you. I can't help but believe that some of your grief and sadness will be replaced by happiness, a joy that cannot be taken away. Yeshua told them that things would change after his death and resurrection. They would have a new and greater understanding, so much so that they would have no need to ask their rabbi about anything. "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything." Human beings are curious about a lot of things. The good news is that all the critical information that Christians and Messianic Jews need, all the truth we need to be reconciled to God, all the truth we need to have successful, meaningful lives, all the truth we need to know the future has already been given to us. "In that day, you will no longer ask me anything." Yeshua told them that things definitely would change after his resurrection. They would have a new and greater understanding. And they would be able to pray with greater understanding so that their prayers would be answered. "Very truly, I tell you, My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Up until this point, the disciples had directed their prayers to God the Father. After Yeshua's death and resurrection, they would still be able to direct their prayers to God the Father, but because the Spirit of God would be living in them in this new and greater way, and they would know Yeshua even better than before, they would be able to pray in Yeshua's name. They would know what to pray for. They would know what Yeshua wanted, what was in agreement with Yeshua's will. And the Father would be happy to answer those prayers, which would make the disciples even happier. Their joy would be complete. Yeshua told them that things would change after his resurrection. They would have a new and greater understanding. They would be able to pray in the name of Yeshua so that their prayers would be answered. And Yeshua would be able to speak to them in a crystal clear way using direct, literal language. Though I have been speaking figuratively, that means a non-literal way, figures, metaphors, analogies, parables. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. Yeshua had often used figurative, non-literal language with the crowds and sometimes even with the disciples. All that would change. Yeshua would be able and willing to communicate with them in a literal way. He did that for 40 days after his resurrection. And after his resurrection, by appearing to them and directly speaking to them, like he did with Paul on the road to Damascus, and through prophecy and visions and other revelations. A time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. Yeshua had taught them that they could pray to him if they wanted to, and he would answer their prayers. And he taught them that they could pray directly to God the Father, and the Father would answer their prayers. In that day, you will ask in my name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Yeshua is our great high priest. He is the mediator of the new covenant. He brings God closer to us and brings us closer to God. And he has brought us so close to God, and we are now so loved by the Father that we are able to pray directly to the Father who loves us because we love his Son and believe that Yeshua came from him. Yeshua responded to their earlier confusion clearly and directly. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. The Father is real and lives in a real place, heaven. Yeshua told his disciples clearly that's where he was going. He was returning to God and God's world. Yeshua's ability to know what their questions were, even though the disciples hesitated to ask, along with the very clear way he answered their unasked questions, convinced these men that Yeshua was very, very special, that he came from God, that he was very close to God, that he knew everything. Then Yeshua's disciples said, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. Great statement. Completely true. But it's one thing to say we believe in Yeshua, like the disciples did here. It's another thing to really believe in Yeshua. And real belief is proved by loyalty, by staying with Yeshua no matter how difficult things become. Yeshua knew his disciples still did not have that kind of belief, that kind of loyalty. Their disloyalty, in fact, would be revealed very soon. "Do you now believe?" Yeshua replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone." They would abandon him in his greatest time of need. "Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me." Yeshua knew that although his most committed disciples would abandon him, his Father never would. And he was comforted and strengthened by that knowledge, as we should be if we are ever disappointed by people we trust. "I am not alone. My Father is with me." Yeshua had told them the truth about who he is, where he was going, that he was preparing an eternal home for them, that he would return for them. He told them about the coming of the Holy Spirit in a new and greater way, and all the great things the Spirit would do for them. He told them about great new things in store for them. But he also told them that one of them would betray him, that Peter would deny him three times, that all of them would abandon him, that he would suffer and die, but their grief would be turned into joy when he came back to life. Yeshua said all these things not to upset them, but to give them peace. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." This fallen, dark, satanically controlled world that is in rebellion against God and is under a curse is full of trouble. And since we are in the world, we will have trouble. It is unavoidable. Yeshua will not take us out of the world and take away our trouble. He will not remove all trouble from us while we are in this world. But when we are united to him, when we are in him, we can have peace even in the midst of our troubles. We can endure our troubles. We can even be benefited by our troubles. United to him who has overcome the world, we too will overcome the world. Let's pray.